series called The Awe of God. I encouraged you last week about going and purchasing this book for a devotion or using in your home groups or just you personally. I did this. I already prearranged some of this just by so I didn't get show favoritism. If you are in between the ages of 30 and 40, I want to give a free book away. You're in the between the age of 30 and 40, stand up. Come on, 30 and 40. Okay. And if you were born, is anybody in here born in the month of August? Really? Are y'all playing around? Is this serious? August, month of August. Right here. Here we go, guys. And I started on this, and I'm going to count. No, stand up. If you're still in August. No? Two right here? And right here. Here we go. And right here. Okay, here we go. I'm going to start counting down. August 15th, August 14th, 13th, 12th. What was your? 13. I'm sorry, she says 13 first. Here you go. Here's your free book right there. There you go. God bless you. Are you 30? No, you're not 30 or 40. What are you doing? You messing around with me? She's messing with me. She got it. I'll give it to her. God bless you. All right. I'll get you another. I'm going to get you one. Who was Angie? I'll get you one. All right. Where will we be diving into God's word? We're going to try to uncover the goodness of godly fear and how it sets the feet of the believer on solid ground. John Brevere, the author of this book, now we will not be preaching this book word for word, but we will pull some quotes out of here from time to time that will be a blessing to you. But here's a quote from him. The fear of the Lord is more glorious, more awe-inspiring, and even more joyous than we could ever imagine. Isn't that good? That this is what I want for Harvest. This is what I'm believing for in this new series, that we would live out the rest of our days in awe of our amazing God. Let me say it this way. Our God is an awesome God. And that's what I want to talk a little bit today on, is that our God is an awesome God. I want to bring it, read a scripture that probably we don't read a lot when we're talking about the unheard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. Isn't that good? We're going to come back to that. But what does it take for a human being in his or her lifetime to experience a moment of awe? Well, first, what I would like to do is actually define awe for you. In the dictionary, this is what comes back to us. Awe is an emotion variously combining dread, veneration, which also could be respect, and wonder that is inspired by the authority or by the sacred or sublime. It's a feeling of reverential respect mixed with fear and wonder. What a word. A three-letter word that it has all that to actually define what that is and what it feels like and what it means. Awe is the emotion or feeling we get in the presence of something so vast that it challenges our understanding of the world and why we exist. Rare and intense events in our lives. When I was 7 years old, I was walking by my mother and father's room, and my dad goes, son, and I, guys, I didn't even know what I just saw. I all of a sudden now, everything that I believed, everything, the concept, all of a sudden, I'm questioning everything. I'm literally sitting there as this little guy going, is my dad Batman or is he Superman? And they took us to Great America. Great America opened up in 1976 in the East Bay. And we get there, and all of a sudden, we're riding rides, and all of a sudden, I walk up, and here's this double loop roller coaster. And it was called the Demon, but it was... I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it, and guys, I had never seen a roller coaster with a loop yet, and I'm seeing one with two. And I'm sitting there and I don't understand inertia, I don't understand forward motion, all the speed and the magnets that are on the road. I'm just sitting there going, how is this roller coaster staying on the track, not just through one loop, but through two? And now I'm going, am I going to ride it or not? Guys, I did, and I rode it like three times before we left, and it was amazing. I remember in 1984 going to Reunion Arena in Dallas, Tennessee. What am I witnessing right now? how is he playing the things that he's playing? I remember when the concert was over, I was still sitting in that seat for 30 minutes after just going, what just happened? Remember watching Michael Jordan. Come on, I know. Greatest of all time, you guys. All right, anyway, I never got a chance to see Bill Russell play. But real Bill Russell there with this massive VHS recorder trying to record what's going on, and I'm watching children, almost said pop out, but you know they're coming out, and they're squishy, they're red, they're wet. The power that our God created in that, it's amazing to me. The Grand Canyon, how we are in awe of architecture and in music and in art. I talked a little bit last week about space and some of that, and how I'm just, I've told my wife this, that if they ever put together a team to finally go to Mars and they need a 90-year-old, if I'm that age, I will gladly get on that ship, and if I pass on the way out there, whatever that is, I just want to go to space. Is everybody with me on this? And I'm just amazed by it. But guys, check this out. Recently, Lori and I watched a 60 Minutes, and they did a thing on space. And I don't know if you know this, but in 2020, NASA sent the James Webb Space Telescope into outer space. Scientists and astronomers, basically as long as astronomy has been studied, have believed that there are empty places in our universe where there's nothing, that there's empty space. And what this telescope, this James Webb telescope, has shown us is that there is not one place in our universe where there is not something. Where we used to think that there were stars, they are actually galaxies. And so I start thinking, all of a sudden now I have this new awe for the God that I live under. I always knew he was a creative God and that he was creator. But man, new encounter with God. The world defines an encounter, or when we talk about this, as having a religious experience, or they will say that you are religious. Guys, don't let the world ever demean you or make you feel in a way that is embarrassed or however by them saying, well, you're just religious. Because it's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about having a relationship with this Father that we serve. And so encountering God, encountering Jesus, encountering the Holy Spirit for the first time, and for some of us, encountering demons, those of us that have come out of alcohol and drugs or just living a worldly life, we understand, we'll hear people say, I'm battling my demons. And so we know that there's this encounter that takes place, and it would mean many different things to many different people in talking about encountering the Lord. But I want you to understand something, is that encountering is important to God because it is from Genesis to Revelation. In Genesis, we know that as he created Adam before Eve ever came along, Adam is encountering God every day. In Revelation, we know that John on the Isle of Patmos, he encounters God, he encounters the Holy Spirit, he encounters Christ himself, the angels. He has a full-on encounter with the Trinity. In our word, we read of that how God reveals himself to Moses. He has this encounter with a burning bush. We think about the transfiguration of Jesus with Peter, James, and John. Can you imagine walking around with Jesus? Sandals, robe, whatever he's wearing, and then all of a sudden he transfigures into who he really is. What an encounter. I think about the Holy Spirit coming to the upper room, and as he came to us as a violent wind and as a tongues of fire. I was sharing a church in Harborview called 3-in-1, which is now called Relate Church. But I remember being there and having this dream, and my encounter was this. Listen to this. It wasn't a burning bush. It wasn't a transfiguration. God set me down in a chair, and he cut my hair. But that was a true encounter with me and with the conversation that we had and how that led. But he was literally, I had God in an encounter cutting my, it was the best haircut I've ever had, you guys. I'm telling you straight up. But as believers, we define an encounter with God as finding truth, finding and having hope. It's where we all of a sudden we get a different picture of what eternity means and what it looks like. Our salvation, it's the unexplainable, it's the miracles. How many of you have had a miracle performed in your life? Because yes, amen. It's something that is greater than me, higher than I could ever think, dream, or imagine, feeling his presence for the first time. And because of all of this, and even more than I could name, it all brings me to a place that I am in awe of God. I think about King Solomon. King Solomon is one of my favorites to talk about in the Old Testament, because here's this king that goes and has this encounter with God, and God says, you name it, I'm going to give it to you. And he says, I want wisdom. And because that's what he asked for, God gave him everything that followed from that. And we know this. He was a great king. We know that the things that he did and things that he said and the things that he built and everything, it was greater than anybody could possibly imagine. You had kings and queens and leaders from all nations coming just to see what the Lord was doing through King Solomon. Even the Queen of Sheba, we have her in Scripture. Look at what she says in 1 Kings 10:7. She says, I didn't believe what was said until I arrived here, and I saw it with my own eyes. In fact, I had not heard the half of it. Your wisdom and prosperity are far beyond what I was told. But probably the most overlooked, and according to King Solomon, the greatest virtue to live by, or the formula for living in a complete awe of God, is none other than the fear of God. Everybody say the fear of God. Here's what we know about King Solomon. King Solomon has a period where he just turns from God. He begins to pursue things on in his own way, with his own wisdom. He tries it through women. He tries it through sex. He tries it through architecture. He tries it through art, through acquiring more land. He tried everything under the sun, back to women. He just kept cycling back and forth, and he's trying. And finally, he comes back to a place to where he gives his heart and his mind back to the Lord. And this is what he says in Ecclesiastes 12:13. All has been heard. Amazing translation, what I'm about to read to you. The end of the matter is, everybody say it, fear God. Revere and worship him, knowing that he is, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man, the full and original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man. And that is from the Amplified Classic. If anybody ever asks you, what is the fear of God? This is a great scripture and translation to kind of go to. It gives you just a great idea. The prized virtue is the fear of God. It's having holy awe. King Solomon had finally discovered that holy awe unlocks life as God intended. How can the fear of the Lord be the foundation of all happiness? Pastor Matt, that doesn't even really make sense to me. Well, usually when we think of fear, and it's not in the sense of awe and wonder, we think of fear as we're afraid. It's something is causing fear. I immediately think of the fears that we experience. You guys have heard of YOLO, you only live before the iPhone. And guys, here's what happened was that they found out that as things started to happen, as we started to progress in technology and all of this, that what they saw was just from the fear of missing out, a 2004 social networking led to compulsive behavior issues. How many of you remember when QVC started? Anybody remember all that? I mean, that was just a nightmare for people. They couldn't stop spending their money. And listen, this is, like I said, this is before iPhone. There's all these behaviors that started just from the fear of missing out. You had all of a sudden this epidemic of hoarding. I don't know if you know what hoarding is, but hoarding is when a man or a woman starts collecting stuff and they can't get rid of stuff because they fear that if they give it away, they're going to miss it. It becomes a behavior that is actually destructive. We have eating disorders from all this. Not eating enough. Not eating too much. Sexual behaviors. Gambling. Skin and health issues. Checking, counting, washing, repeating. Checking, counting, washing, and repeating. All from the fear of missing out. There's another fear that I'll never forget this. I was over at a friend's house. I was 16 years old. I had a drum set at my house. He had a drum set at his. His was much bigger, double bass, pinstripe, black and white. And we would go over and just do fills and show each other techniques, and we just play drums all the time. And then we were sitting there, and we were listening to records together. And his younger brother walks in, sits on the floor, and grabs an album. And then all of a sudden, we're just sitting there, and the front door to his house flies open, and his dad comes in screaming, upset. And I just remember it jolted me. I didn't get scared, but I was like, what's going on? And my friend gets up, opens up his door, and when he opened the door up, all of a sudden now you can hear the swearing. You can hear the rage. And my buddy disappears, and I'm just kind of looking at the door like, what is going on? And I go to look at his brother, who's like 4 years younger, and he's wet his pants from fear. We live in a time where fear is recognized as something that is detrimental, that it's damaging. We know that fear sways government. It affects nations. Fear causes wars. It controls people, their decisions, their thoughts. How many of you know so many people, even maybe yourself, where you gave up on a dream just because of fear? Fear can create addictive behaviors. Fear creates phobias. I mean, how many of us don't like to go to a doctor to get a shot because we have a fear of what? Needles. We have a fear of spiders-type places. We have the fear of speaking in front of people. And fear causes sickness, false reality. Let me just say it this way. Fear is messy. It's a spirit of fear. Everybody say spirit of fear. And listen to this. And this type of fear is not of God. We talked about this, but let me read you this scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, English Standard Version. It says, for God gave us a spirit, what's it say? Not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. He gives us a spirit, not of fear. So if it's not fear that he's given us his Holy Spirit. Amen? That's where it is. The Passion Translation says, he doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. In the Aramaic, it can actually be translated into, he gives you revelation light. Doesn't that sound good? He gives you revelation light. He gives you instruction. FOMO. So FOMO, the fear of missing out. On the other side of it, not the worldly sense, not the worldly sense of fear. I want to talk about having a holy fear. How about a holy FOMO? Come on, guys. A holy fear of missing out on God's best for my life. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to stay. And I have this because I don't want to miss anything, because I want him to have my future. What is having holy fear? I'm not going to try to define that totally in this message because we've got 7 weeks and we've got some great teaching coming. And we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be getting deeper into it. But I can tell you what it's not. Holy fear is not being scared of God. God is not looking for us to hide and draw away from him. He wants us with him. Holy fear is the heart's response of, I don't want to spend another day without you, God. Not another day, not another minute. I want to be where you are. Having a holy fear of God, come on, guys, is getting to the place that we hate sin and we hate what sin does to the heart. Having a holy fear of God is giving him everything that belongs to him. My heart, my life, my marriage, my future. Everybody take a little bit of a breath here. My tithe. Come on. My strengths and my weaknesses. It's you and I showing honor, being fully aware of him, submitting to his will and his authority. Because he is holy, I am doing my best. Because he is holy, I am doing my best. I'm doing my best to live for him. I just want to be where you are, God, because I have the fear of missing out on your best in my life. Man, what a way to have a holy fear of him, just that you don't want to miss his best. John Bevere, here's another quote. He says this, the firm reality is God wants to be close and intimate with you. So rest assured, holy fear does not quench intimacy. It does just the opposite. It enhances our interaction with God. Isn't that good? Let's look back at Malachi 3:16. I told you I'd come back to it. I highlighted some different things. Look at this. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. So we see twice it talks about that they feared the Lord. So these are men and women that their lives were his. They were sold out to him. And then when you see where it says they honored his name, that means they worshiped him. It's love. They were his. They're saying we recognize the awe of God. Psalms 27:8 says that my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Man, if those who translate the Bibles ever gave me a chance to respond, I'm on my way. I am on my way. You call me God, and I am on my way. To speak and sing these words. Look at this right here. You guys sing this with me. You know this song that's coming up. Our God is God. That's good, huh? You heard pastors say, our God is an awesome God. Come on. You've been there. You've been in those services where they take it to the next level. Well, here's the thing, you guys. These are just either words or we actually believe that. It's just a catchy song with a killer hook, or we are actually, it's a phrase that the devil, I'm telling you, would love to pull out of your vocabulary. He would love to rob you of that. That you would not only speak it, but that you will never believe it. So I want to give you two quick thoughts. Thought is this: I want to ascend, but more importantly, I want to dwell. I want to ascend, but more importantly, I want to dwell. Back in February, I was in a time of fasting. Pastors meeting for the assemblies, and our superintendent came, and guess what he talks about? He talks about ascending and dwelling. And it just confirmed in my life that, yes, you know, God is really speaking to me about this, because I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this in a second, but then I got really convicted about it. And guys, here's the thought is, when you're talking about ascending to dwell, a lot of us love the idea, let's go to God, let's ascend, let's go, let's worship. And when we finally get up to where the presence of God is, we're quickly already descending. I want it to be, I'm moving to where God is. I have found his presence and I'm staying. I have ascended to dwell. I desire to be him. I be there with him. I want to be where he is. Come on, give me an amen. Years ago, Carlton, say it. Carlton, fine. Give it up for Lori. She gave me a good name there. Thank you. So, I'm messing around. So, Lori, at this time she was producing, she'd do some traveling producing for 700 Club. And she was doing Carlton Farney. He's a famous decorator, designer, and he had did all the decor and everything for the Greenbrier in West Virginia. I don't know if you've ever been there or ever seen it, but it literally looks like the White House times 10. It's humongous. Fishing, golf, you know, four-wheelers, everything, anything that you want to do up there, it's there. So she was up there filming his story. Well, she calls me and she goes, Matt, they're actually, will give us a couple rooms if you, I'm there. You know what I mean? It's like when I talked, I'm on my way. Remember this, how I talked about it in that scripture where I'd like to change that. And it was like as soon as she said it, I was packing a bag as fast as I could, got in my car. I didn't stop to eat anywhere. I was just using the restroom back in the car, and I was gone. I'm ascending up, you know, up through the mountains. I get to West Virginia. You have to ascend up a little bit more. And I pull up. They take my car, and Lori's waiting for me in the lobby. And I see her, and I go up, and she goes, babe, I can't hang out right now, but if you'll go to the room, I'll be with you, you know, after a while. I'm still doing it. And I was like, really? Where she is. What a bummer. What a bummer if I would have traveled and ascended to see her, and she couldn't see me, and I couldn't have stayed, and all she could say was, I'm really sorry. Psalms 91:1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that good? In the Message, it actually says it this way, that you sit down. You take the time to sit down in his presence. I think about King David. He goes to get the Ark of the Covenant finally, but they're doing it man's way. Everybody listen to what I'm about to say here. They're not doing it the way that God would have desired them to do it. They're going to do it their way. And it ends up causing him to lose a man's life. Then all of a sudden, now the awe and the fear, it's the wrong kind of fear. Everything's exploding with beauty and just everything's just going as great. And now David's looking down going, I want that here. I want that presence. I want to be in the midst of that presence. So he goes back to get it. This time, he's doing it God's way. Every six steps, bringing that up from Abu Ghosh, they sacrificed a bull. Now, I've been to Abu Ghosh, and I know how far and how long it takes to go from there to Jerusalem. It's about a 20-minute, 25-minute drive at 65, 70 miles an hour. So every six steps, because of the awe and what they knew, the power, the presence of God, that they were sacrificing. Aren't you glad for Jesus that we don't have to do that anymore? Come on, isn't that good? Every six steps because of the power that they knew that they were in the presence of. But he did this so that he wanted, because David wanted to be where God was. He wanted to be able to dwell with him. Not just constantly ascending and descending. Being in a hurry, being rushed, where your heart is not ready. You guys, the Holy Spirit directly convicted me of this. I'm really good. I mean, sometimes as believers, we can really talk a good game, but we're really not walking it. That God was saying, Matt, I don't need you just to keep ascending and then descending. I want you to actually hang out with me. Stay with me. And so my language had to change. My thought processes had to change. I want to ascend, but I also knew that I needed to dwell. I don't want to be too busy. I don't want to be too bored. Guys, don't get bored with God. Don't get bored with him. I want his presence. I want to be in awe of him. I want to live my life in a holy fear. Psalms 27:4 says, one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. You see, dwelling with God means that I am aware of him constantly. Not just sometimes. I'm always, even when my life is a complete mess sometimes, he's always there. Our language changes. I want to encounter Jesus. I want to hear from Jesus. I want to be in his presence. That we could all, everybody say all, that we could all, because of a holy fear, desire more than anything just to be where God is. So full of faith, completely in awe. He is God. He is Jesus, he is Holy Spirit, and he is awesome. He is awesome. Remember, Psalms 91:1 said, he who dwells will abide. Look at the next verse. This I declare about the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of holy awe. I want to ascend, and more importantly, I want to dwell, and then secondly, I am being transformed into the image of Jesus. We talked last week that people recognize people who have spent time with Jesus. We went into some detail on that, but it's a truth. When we dwell with our Lord, when we live our lives for him, when we are in awe of him, when we create room in our lives with utmost respect, we will find God's tangible presence. The atmosphere begins to change. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is here. This is what we know, that when the Holy Spirit gets involved, things are going to start changing. The fear of the Lord, listen to how I use this word. The fear of the Lord changes the atmospheres that we find ourselves in sometimes. The atmospheres. When we feel surrounded, he will fight our battles. When we walk into places of sadness, his joy will fill the room. When we find ourselves in a dark place, his, Guys, I say this because I'm not judging you or anything, because I've been right there. I've been in the darkest places. And I'm just telling you that when the presence of God gets involved, darkness cannot stay. It doesn't matter what you go through. It doesn't matter what you experience. It can be the darkest of darkest times. And he will be where you are. Senior, my marriage is struggling. I don't know what to do. It's just dark. I'm telling you, he can come in and change our atmospheres. Look at this translation of Psalms. It's one of my favorite of 139. Verse 7. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. Fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to
hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. Everybody say, praise God to that. There's no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no, and we all who have with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being, everybody say it, transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit. You take the scripture, you take the word transformation, you pull it out and you look at it in the Greek, and that is metamorphao. And metamorphao actually speaks to that we're changing literally into another form. It's the same word that you'll see at the Mount of Transfiguration. But one of the coolest things that I found as I was studying this comes out of the Thayer's Greek lexicon, and I want the same image of Christ. And listen what else it says. We are producing the same image, so much so that we could be accused of being Christ-like. Come on, man. Desiring to dwell with him. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you realize that together you have God's inner sanctuary and that the Spirit of God makes his permanent home in you? Where we start saying, man, I can't wait to experience the unimaginable. It's where it gives us pause. I still remember this. When my dad jumped over that king-size bed, I was in pause. I didn't know what in the world just happened. Y'all came out of my darkness in 2014 just being exposed to the light of his presence. It made me want to, listen to what I'm about to say, it had shifted. I was reminded of how truly amazing my God is. I'm going to have the worship team come and join William, but you got, hey, can we give our worship team a hand? Come on, this, wow. The only powerful one. The king over every king and the Lord of power. He alone is the immortal God, living in the unapproachable light of divine glory. No one has ever seen his fullness, nor can they, for all the glory ever and ever. Amen. And there have been seasons in my life where, guys, I want to admit this to you. Can I just be transparent one more time? There's been seasons in my life that I want to admit this, that my relationship with God became a little too casual. It sits on the front of our car. He's not just an acquaintance at work or anything like that. He is God, and he is awesome. To ascend to where God is and dwell with him. Allow his spirit to make a change. And that way that somebody would see you and go, man, that man, they'll accuse you. That man has been with Jesus. You can see, hey, that woman right there, she loves her God. Wouldn't you love to just be accused of spending time with Jesus? Amen. It's a difference maker. Stay amazed. John Piper said this: if you don't see the greatness of God, then all the things that money can buy become very exciting. If you can't see the sun, you will be impressed with a street light. If you've never felt thunder and lightning, you'll be impressed with fireworks. And if you turn your back on the greatness and majesty of God, you'll fall in love with a world of shadows and short-lived pleasures. This is what I love about my God. Nothing is hidden. Authority, all his power, all of his wisdom. He is majestic. He is creator. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is everywhere at all times. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the bright and morning star. He is Yeshua HaMashiach. My God knows who I am. He knows you by name, and he is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Come on. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Say this with me one more time. Our God is an awesome God. Say it again. Our God is an awesome God. Come on, let's all stand. Praise the Lord. This is what I want to do. We've got time. This is for the Holy Spirit. Some people took advantage during worship to come down, and this is what I would say. Some of us came in here today, and the number one priority for you today is that you come down and you just dwell with him. Nobody, we're not asking people to pray with you. This is your time with the Lord. As they begin to sing,
as the Lord moves you. If you don't want to come, that's fine. You can stay there and worship. But if you're here, you